this was an extraordinary military success. It showed not only Israel's military superiority, but that Israel's not alone. That the United States actually put American fighter jets in the air, actively defending Israel in harm's way. That goes a long way, and that sends a strong message about where Israel is in the region versus where Iran is in the region, which is increasingly isolated.
That was John Kirby on all the talk shows yesterday, making the argument for the White House that you take the win. We just showed that the rest of the world is so much better than Iran. They are embarrassed. They took their best shot, and they've been embarrassed by the rest of the world. You take the win. It was a huge success. So one of the first places I went, as I followed this news very closely on Saturday over the weekend for analysis, was our friend Mike Lyons, who we're about to hear from, and he presented two options yesterday on his Twitter thread. The first option was the take the win, as argued by John Kirby and others there. But the second option was this from Mike Lyons, and we're going to ask him about it. Israel was attacked by another sovereign nation who violated the international airspace of other countries in an unprecedented attack of cruise and ballistic missiles and a swarm of drones. This is an escalated and disproportionate response to an attack Israel made against them. To restore deterrence, Israel needs to attack military and strategic targets, nuclear facilities to punish Iran. It's time for war and to finally eliminate this threat. I don't know which of these Mike advocates. That's what I want to find out.
Let's find out. CNN military analyst Mike Lyons joins us from his automobile, I believe, to discuss the fairly complex geopolitical questions before us. Mike, how are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to be back.
And I'm not trying to pretend that this is an easy decision, but of the two scenarios you laid out to take the win or the one we just read, which are you actually behind?
I think that you could take, I don't want to thread the needle necessarily, but you could take a little bit of both. You could say it was somewhat of a win, thank God, the fact that that 99% of those rockets were fired and never made their target, and it does show a little bit of incompetence on the Iranian side. However, the United States or anybody else, you have to respond militarily. This is a complete escalation here. Deterrence has got to be restored. So Israel will respond. I was disappointed that the administration felt that they had to leak the information that said, hey, we're 100% behind you, but guess what? If you decide to go on the offense, we're not going to help you with that. So, the Israelis must respond to this. It was nothing short of a miracle that most of those rockets were fired out of the sky.
Yeah, putting aside the, to my mind, shocking and disgusting passivity, it's almost beyond passivity. It's, we won't do anything, just trust us. We're taking doing anything off the table, nature of the Biden administration. What did you make of the aid given to Israel by a number of countries around the region?
No, I think it was terrific. Jordan in particular now, we always knew that Jordan was going to align itself more with Israel. They don't want to be public about that. Other NATO countries were obviously involved as well, and that was good. But now the gloves are off from an intel perspective. So now the Iranians also know what Jordan's capability is, because this was an intel exercise besides just being a military exercise. They took notes on exactly what happened and how many interceptors were fired. And we were on the wrong side of this economic bell curve. We fired probably more missiles at them than they fired at us, or at those rockets to take them down. And this from a sustainment perspective can't keep going. What if the Iranians decide to shoot another 300 tomorrow or sneak a nuclear round in one of those things? So again, it was good to see other countries involved. And I think deep down, there's a lot of moral support for what Israel's doing. It's just that they still can't go public with it in that part of the world.
So the reporting, there was some reporting last night, U.S. officials saying they believe Iran's intent was a mass casualty event, as opposed to what I think a lot of us believed for some of the weekend, that they like telegraphed this so much with the idea that they would not be successful. They just had to show that they were, you know, trying to do this as a gesture. Which do you think it was?
Yeah, so I don't buy that. I think the analogy is we're going to rob a bank. We're going to tell you we're going to rob the bank. So we want everybody to get in bulletproof vests. We're going to come in and we're going to shoot everybody up. But you'll have a bulletproof vest and you'll be okay as we try to commit this crime. I mean, that's the issue here. What they did was an act of aggression against another country, whether they warned them or not, or whatever the case may be. They didn't fire one missile or 10 missiles. They fired 300. I mean, the scope and scale of it was tremendous. And the measure of effectiveness can't be, well, we just didn't kill anybody. We didn't hit anything. That just can't be it. All that really did was give the Israeli cabinet time to now decide what their response will be, which, again, I do think will be covertly in the shadows. We'll have some level of military aspect to it. But if you're a nuclear scientist or a military official in Iran right now, you better have your head on a swivel, because everyone is a target. And that those targets are going to be inside Iran. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, and it's worth keeping in mind that the Israelis respond when they desire. It might be by right. noon today. It might be in 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I still, we haven't seen cyber. We haven't seen other, you know, kind of soft ways that they can respond. And who knows? We know that there's challenges inside of Iran already with that, with their government. They have significant internal conflict of maintaining their own power. So from their perspective, this might be a last gesture in order to show that they're still in control of their government. It would be great if something happened in there. You had revolution again inside of Iran. I mean, it would tip. It looks like it appears it would tip back towards at least some level of normalcy, let's say. But for what's happening right now, Israel's looking at Iran saying existential threat, nuclear facilities. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the target.
Yeah, that the story that broke late in the week, last week before this attack, that Israel was, that Iran is so close once again to a nuclear weapon.
And it's right. One thing to have a nuke, it's another thing to deliver it. And so from that perspective, I mean, who's to say they can't go to North Korea and get a suitcase or get something and launch it and put it something and, you know, kind of, you know, bring it together to, in order to make this attack on the next time. And that has got to be what the concern is. Those are all in the realms of the possibilities. So that's when Admiral Kirby says things like, let's take the W here. This is not a baseball game where we're going to play another game tomorrow. I mean, this is a long-term strategic objective. What I don't understand about this administration is it's very siloed in how it's dealing with the same issue. We're all of a sudden we're now ironclad against Iran, but we're really not sure about what's going on with Hamas and southern Gaza. Israel could do a little better job of what's going on there. I mean, it's the same enemy. It's the same right. enemy, and that's how Israel looks at it. It's one thing. For some reason, the two different research groups they have given the president or whoever the advice is not talking to each other because they think they're all separate, independent channels. It's the same thing. It's the same channel.
Yeah, I never want to come off as some sort of hyper-partisan, you know, bomb chucker, but I'm just astonished by the ineffectiveness of the Biden foreign policy. It shocks me. I'm not quite sure what to make of it. CNN military analyst Mike Lyons. Mike, hey, we sure appreciate you squeezing us in. It's great to talk to you. Thanks for the insights.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.